Passage in 1 Samuel. You're invited to join me. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we'll start at verse 1. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. First Samuel 1 and verse 1. You know what? I'm going to skip verse 1. And if you look at it for a minute, you'll understand why. Here's what I'm going to say about verse 1. Remember one man's name. That's the only one that's important for now. And that's the name Elkanah. Elkanah. That's the husband. Now let's go to verse 2. And he had two... Bad news right there. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of the hosts of Shiloh. Or in Shiloh, rather. And the two sons of Eli, that was the high priest at that time, or the pastor of the church, okay, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now skip down to verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Verse 10, and she, this is Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but wilt give me or give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be... No razor come upon his head. Verse 12, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Skip down to verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the passage before us today. Help me to speak your word with faithfulness, clarity, authority, passion, wisdom, humility, and liberty. In the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Everybody shout amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I've called it Hannah's Momumental Principles. Recently, I read about a mother who was putting her son to bed on the eve of his fifth birthday. She was trying to explain the whole birthday idea to him, and she said, now, Kevin, this is the last night of your fourth year. Do you realize that? And he responded with his hands, because for a full year, he had shown people four fingers for his 4 years. Now he's ready to add a thumb. And seeing his four fingers, his mother nodded and said, so, when you go to sleep tonight, you'll still be 4 years old. But do you know how old you'll be in the morning when you wake up? And he nodded and he added his thumb to his four little fingers and he said, tomorrow, Mom, I'll be a handful. For all the mothers who have had their hands full, we celebrate you today. I was thinking something that Dr. Vance Havner said years ago. He said, a good woman is the best thing on earth. He said, women were last at the cross and first at the tomb. That's pretty good. So the church owes a great debt to the faithful women, godly women, wives, mothers through the years. So, but how many would agree today we live in a generation and a culture, we live in a world that's full of problems? Some small ones, some large ones, maybe some in between. Some problems are financial. Some are physical. Some are psychological. Some are spiritual. And others range from family difficulties maybe to business hardships. But what do you do? There's a question. What do you do when trouble comes to your home? When trouble comes to your house, how do you respond? How many know there's a right way and a wrong way? Yeah, to respond to life's problems when they come to a family. And today we're going to take a look at a would-be mother who found help in her time of trouble. She wanted a child but seemed unable to have one. And to this point, her husband, we find from the text, had made a terrible mistake. He had married two women. Now, it was legal for him to do that in his country and in his generation, but it was foolish. May I say something that we had better learn in our country? Just because something is legal does not make it wise. Just because something is legal does not make it prudent. In fact, it can be legal and yet be lethal. We're going to learn one way or another that, for example, legalized abortion is a hateful law against unborn children. And believe me, one day the judges will all stand before the great judge. One day the authorities will have to stand before the supreme authority. And one day all the potentates, prime ministers, and presidents will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and find out that what they deemed as legal, God deemed as lethal. And something may be legal but yet ill-advised. And, you know, if you could have asked this husband, Elkanah, he would have been glad to tell you that polygamy was legal but not wise. One of his wives, now Peninnah, had children, but the other wife, Hannah, had none. And Peninnah took every opportunity from the text and the story, it seems, to demean Hannah, to make her feel like she was less than a real woman and a true wife to Elkanah. If you'll notice in verse 6, Peninnah is referred to as Hannah's adversary. I believe is who it's referring to. It says her adversary provoked her sore. So to say that Hannah was bothered by Peninnah was kind of an understatement. You know, sometimes it's just hard for two women to get along. Anyway, I read this week about two women who were riding on a train, and they had been arguing for the better part of an hour over whether or not the train window at their seat should be opened. One of them said, I'll die of a pneumonia if you open it. And the other one said, I'll die of suffocation if you don't open it. So finally, the man sitting across the aisle couldn't take it any longer, and he suggested to the conductor, sir, he said, why don't you just open it until the one gets pneumonia and then close it until the other one suffocates? Then we'll have peace on this train. Hannah and Peninnah simply did not get along. And our text really seems to place the blame for this difficulty at the feet of Peninnah. She apparently was critical, insensitive, jealous, unsympathetic. And so, just cut to the chase, I believe there was a lot of tears in this household. Elkanah probably himself shed some. Notice that like any good husband, he tried to console Hannah in her tears. I didn't read that verse, but if you want to go back and look at it, like most attempts by husbands, his effort was not very effective. He found out that usually when a woman's tear ducts open up, her eardrums close up. And Elkanah, he had to learn that the hard way. But here, as you look at the text, what is it that Hannah did? Well, she did something very informative, very inspiring. She put into practice three principles for overcoming hardships in our homes. If you don't have a problem today, write these principles down because you may need them sooner than you think. Over and over in the Bible, people found victory, I think, by using these three principles. And let's look at the principles which brought victory to Hannah, and I believe can bring victory to our homes today. Number one, here's the first principle. The come to the Lord principle. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're saying to yourself, oh, you know, Pastor, surely you know that we have enough sense to take our problems to the Lord. Well, that's not the question. I'm not talking about taking your problem to the Lord. I'm talking about taking yourself to the Lord. Hello. We must not be guilty of seeking the gift that God gives and not seeking the giver of the gift. We must not merely want a prize from God, but we must desire the person of God. Ladies, there are so many who would capture your interest today and tear you away from God's high calling in your life. They would say, focus on your career, buy more stuff, pamper yourself. You've heard it all, I'm sure. But let me just say, don't buy what the world is selling in this spiritual sense, because how many has found out that the majority of the time what our culture sells ends up being lies? Right? Note with me three things about coming to the Lord. First of all, I want you to see the offer to Hannah. And here is because Hannah could come to the Lord only because the Lord had given the word of invitation and had actually made a way for her to come to him. And don't miss this. If you do, you will miss the most important element in the process of overcoming a hardship in the home. We don't just come to the Lord because we want to. We come because he loves us and he made it possible. You will note that Hannah went to the church, basically, went to the temple. The temple was located at Shiloh, signified a couple different things. It was the result from the word of God, and it was the way to God. You see, God had given the word for the temple, the tabernacle, to Moses 300 years earlier. God called it a place. This is what he said. He said, I want you to build a place where I can meet with my people. Now, for those of you that do not understand why we prioritize church attendance, this is why. We go to church because God himself said it would be a place that we would meet him. I want to meet him now before I stand before him on judgment day. Don't you think that's a good idea? God called it a place where he would meet with his people. It was a place where sacrifice was made for the sins of the people. It was a place pointing to the coming of Christ and the provision that he would make at Calvary through his blood. And I know Hannah did not understand all of that, no doubt. But she had God's invitation to come, and she had God's declared way to come, and that is the way she came. And I'm thankful that God has declared a way for us to meet with him, and that he also made a way for us to meet with him. All through the Bible, he's given a word of invitation. After Adam sinned, for example, God called unto him, called him to come out from his hiding place and once again meet with God. God called Noah into the ark for the saving of his family. God called Lot out of Sodom before the destruction came. Christ said, come unto me. I'm talking about an invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. In Revelation, we read, the Spirit and the bride say, what is the most important word there? Come. That's in Revelation 22, last chapter of the Bible. So the offer from God is those that seek me will find me. So I want us to all remember God has a word of invitation to all of us. That's the reason we come. But God also has given us a way to come. And at the tabernacle, Hannah was confronted with the messy sacrifices that were being offered every morning and every evening. Without the blood that was shed by our Lord for our sins, how many know we can't come into his presence? And we know now that all of the blood of the bulls, of the goats, was just a mere foreshadowing of the sacrifice which Christ would make at Calvary for us. And so we come to God only if we come by way of the cross. Somebody say, I'm thankful for the cross. So Hannah came because God had given a word of invitation and a way of acceptation. Or exception, or rather accepting. Let me get that out right. Now, letter B. I want you to also not only notice the offer to Hannah, but notice the options that was before Hannah. Because when we are facing a hardship, you can be sure that Satan will make sure there's other options other than the ones that God offers. Hannah had some other choices that she could choose from. All right? She could choose revenge. All right? On her adversary. That was a choice. She could choose, secondly, running away. That was a choice. She could choose rebellion. That was a choice. Hannah rejected these lesser choices and accepted God's word and God's way. Success or failure, can I say this, hung in the balance as she made her decision. And any other choice would have led to more dysfunction and destruction in their family. If she would have sought revenge, running away, rebelling against her husband. So notice this. Let her see. Finally, we see the opportunity within Hannah. Now, I like this because I believe, and I hope you've understood in the past, every problem is a seed of a miracle. Turn to your neighbor and tell him that. Every problem is a seed of a miracle. Every need is an opportunity to prove our obedience and faith to God. And Hannah had an opportunity because she had a problem. I don't want you to raise your hand, but just think of this. How many folks in here know that there's problems in your house? She would have never realized the miracle if she had not realized the misery. So if you have a problem today, let me encourage you by reminding you that you have the seed of a miracle at your fingertips. Just make sure you listen to the invitation from Christ, ignore the options that the world offers, and do what Hannah did and come to the Lord. Now let's go on to the second principle. You see, just knowing we can come to God is not enough. Even coming and standing before him is not enough either. There's something more. Okay? So there's the coming to the Lord principle. Now, though, secondly, there's the call to the Lord principle. In our passage, Hannah didn't just come to church, but Hannah, the Bible says, prayed. She called on the Lord, and her prayer was an act of crying out to God. And if we're going to overcome our troubles, we must learn to come to the Lord, but listen, we must also learn to call on the Lord. And the songwriter penned, what was it? He said, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Moses called to the Lord, and the Bible says the Red Sea opened up and made a way of escape. Elijah called to the Lord. The Bible says fire fell from heaven. Daniel called to the Lord and the lions lost their appetite. Right? The church called to the Lord and Peter was delivered from prison. Church, hey, how about it, moms and dads? How important is it to you not only to come to church, but to call out to God while you're at church? Listen, they called to the Lord. Now, I want us to see something about her call. Hannah's prayer was, first of all, fervent. Oh, I believe she prayed passionately. It was heartfelt. And remember what James says. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what? Much. I believe, yes, the fervent prayer of a righteous woman availeth much as well. Now, it's interesting to me that when Hannah fervently prayed, Eli, the priest or the pastor, the Bible says he thought she was what? Drunk. Now, fast forward to the 120 in the upper room. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the people in Jerusalem thought they were all drunk, right? So, I don't know, and I'm not going to say that Hannah was praying in tongues, but I think maybe she was praying so fervently that she may have begun to pray in the Spirit. Hello. Boy, we sure don't see much praying like Hannah's prayer in our day, do we? Would people think you were drunk by the way you prayed? Our prayers sometimes, let me just be real practical. How many know sometimes our prayers are too dignified? Right? I think perhaps a lot of prayer meetings were killed in many churches by the same people praying the same monotonous prayers week after week. Maybe we could use some fervency in our prayers like Hannah had. Next, not only was her call fervent, but her call was focused. She didn't pray some generic prayer. She spoke directly to the Lord about a specific problem in their home or in their life. This is the kind of praying, I believe, that produces results. You know, too many of our prayers are just generic and general, broad, sweeping prayers. I heard about this little boy this week who had been asked to pray at their family's mealtime. And so he prayed. He prayed with one eye open and one eye shut. And as he looked around the table, he said, "Dear Lord, thank you for the fried chicken. Thank you for the green beans. Thank you for the mashed potatoes. Thank you for the biscuits. Thank you for this iced tea." Getting hungry yet? And he paused and he opened both eyes and turned to his mom and said, "Mom, what are we having for dessert?" His mama said, "And we're having apple pie." And so he prayed again. He said, "And Lord, we really thank you for the apple pie." Now, we may think that kind of prayer is juvenile, but it may be the kind of prayer that's more welcome in heaven than some of our praying. Hello. At least that little boy was praying specific things, right? And too many of our prayers are too general, too broad. So Hannah's prayer was fervent, but it was also focused. And then finally noticed her call or her prayer was also firm. It's in verse 12. She wasn't down on one knee and up on the other one. She kept praying until she felt she had received the answer in her spirit. Now, I cannot promise you that coming to God and calling upon God will always give you what you want, but I will tell you,
God will give you what you need. Amen, Pastor. But you must stand firm. I said stand firm until God comes through with the answer. Let God's grace be sufficient for you, Mom. Like it was for Hannah, like it was for Paul the Apostle, after he said, I prayed not only once, not only twice, but I prayed three times for this thorn to be removed. But instead he said, God, you may not have given me what I wanted, but you gave me grace that was going to be sufficient. Praise God. All right, so we have coming to the Lord, we have the calling on the Lord, and then finally, committing to the Lord. That's the final principle, the commit to the Lord principle. What we see here is genuine faith. Hannah tried, I believe, and she truly believed that God would take care of her. She did not have absolute assurance that she would have a child, but she did have a sudden and, I believe, unexplainable peace. And look at verse 11, because she does not say when, but she says if. When, in other words, when she's speaking of God's favor in granting her a child. This was no name it and claim it kind of faith. This was a take it and leave it faith, meaning that is she took her burden to the Lord and she left it with him. Hallelujah. I said she took it to the Lord and left it with him. She knew that he knew what was best. She committed the entire situation to the Lord. It was not her battle anymore. It was the Lord's battle. And she prayed until she had the assurance that God would do the right thing. Praise God. And so she went home with the victory. She gained the victory. First of all, I want you to see, she won a victory physically. Because notice verse 18. Up until this point, she had not felt like eating. But she got her appetite back. Have you ever been so upset you couldn't eat? I think all of us probably have at times. But some of us just eat more when we do get upset. Hello. Hannah had not been eating. Her husband had been trying to get her to eat, but she needed something more than a husband's encouragement. She needed God to intervene in her family. So note the steps. She comes to the Lord, she calls upon the Lord, and then she commits to the Lord. Now she feels the release in her spirit, and things can hopefully get back to a new normal. So she won the victory physically. She also won the victory emotionally. Her emotions had been wreaking havoc in her life. She no doubt cried all the time. She was nervous and anxious, depressed and sad. But now see her condition, verse 18. Says she was no longer sad. Remember, this is before she knew that she would have a child. This is before she became expectant. All she had was the peace of God. But my friend, if you have the peace of God, that's all you need. And listen, so she won the victory physically, emotionally, spiritually as well, because a great battle had been raging in her heart. Could she trust the Lord for this situation in her family? Could she believe that God knew what was best? And see the beginning of verse 19. It says, early the next day, she arose and worshiped the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, glory to God. Her problem is still present, but her heart is filled with a new love and a new appreciation for what she felt God was going to do. Listen, she worships, she rejoices, and she celebrates the victory. Newsflash, praise and worship will put the devil on the run. I said, praise and worship puts the devil on the run. Don't let your problems keep you from spiritual victory. In fact, allow them to lead you to spiritual victory. Romans 8:28 reveals the nature of this kind of victory, because it says all things will work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Listen, whether God's purpose for her was a child or not, she was going to honor him. She was going to worship him. She was going to praise him. She was going to have church. Even when she had left the church, she said, I'm going to get up and just worship God. I'm just going to get up today and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I know you're still on the throne. And if he is for us, who can be against us? Her adversary still may provoke her, but she's going to say, I'm going to praise God anyway. Oh, that's good stuff. Whew. So notice this. She not only won the victory physically, emotionally, spiritually, but she also won it domestically. Her home life was changed. It didn't matter what Peninnah did after Hannah's commitment to the Lord. Hannah had peace in her home as far as she was concerned. And I believe she brought peace, or measure of peace, into that home. Because there is peace in a home where God is loved, where God is worshiped, and where he is trusted with every problem that arises. Amen, Pastor. So listen, the Bible says this, and I close because it's getting lunchtime. God remembered Hannah. Praise God. And by the time the next year rolled around, there was a little boy in her arms who she called Samuel. Somebody say, God still answers prayers. God still answers mother's prayers. God still answers grandmother's prayers. I said, God still answers women's prayers. Because she came to God, then she called on God, and then she committed herself. Not just her problem, she committed herself to God. Oh, somebody say, that's good. Not every person who prays for a certain thing gets it. I understand. But everyone who comes the right way, calls on the right person, and commits to Christ can trust God to do what is best and what is right for them. And that leads to peace. Oh, how many could say, I could use a little peace in my home. I could use a little peace in my home. I feel the presence of the Lord here. Because notice, first of all, Hannah was a woman of sadness. Secondly, she became a woman of supplication. And finally, she went home a woman with a song. I believe it, sister, you can leave this morning having come here with sadness. And you can enter a time of supplication. And before you leave, I believe you can be singing a new song. Amen. Let's stand together. Why? Because that's what Hannah did. That's what Hannah did. To change our sadness to song, we must come to the Lord. We must call to the Lord. And we must commit to the Lord. And how many know you can do that right now in this service? Father, here this morning, there's mothers, there's family, and Lord, they can be experiencing problems. Oh, they look good here today. Everybody's dressed in their Sunday best. They look impressive. They've put a smile on their face. But God, we know that a smile can hide the hurt of the heart only for so long. And Father, I know there's families in our midst this morning that are asking you for some peace in their homes. And the world offers all their different kinds of ways to get peace. But Father, may they be reminded this morning, the only true and lasting peace comes when they come to you, when they call to you, and when they commit to you. These are things we're asking you to do today, Lord. Someone's here, so they've come to you. But Lord, right now, we're going to take a moment and call on you. And in our calling, Father, I pray that there will be some that will commit. commit their families to you, commit their lives to you, commit their hearts to you, commit lost sons and daughters to you, commit lost spouses to you. God, commit broken relationships and homes to you. Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord. Father, would you work today? In Jesus' name, and the church says amen. As the musicians play, I want to invite you. Hey, would you stand beside Hannah today in the temple? You're already here, so that's the first step you've already completed. You've come. But now, let's take it a step further and let's call upon the Lord. So if you're here this morning and you've got certain circumstances and situations that you would like to bring to the Lord, I want you to come. Find a place to kneel across this front. And would you take a few moments? If you're a family here together, and it'd be great if you'd come together as a family and kneel across this front or stand across the front, however you feel you can do that. And just bow your heads and just begin to call out to the Lord. And in your calling, I encourage you, if you've not committed to Him or if you need to recommit to Him, oh, that's it. Some are coming. Some are coming. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Grandmother with three grandchildren. That's right. That's right. This is beautiful. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Is there anybody else? Just slip out of your seat. Would you come? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I invite you to find a place to pray. Get in the presence of God. Why don't you call? Why don't you cry out to Him? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, right here, right now. Lord, we're coming to you. We're coming to you. We're calling on you. We're committing to you, Jesus. Families, right here, families. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it, moms. That's it, dads. Come to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This is the most important part of the service this morning. Commit to Christ. Commit to Him. Take that problem to Him. Leave it with Him. Leave it with Him. Put it in His hands. Put it in His hands. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you're able. You're able, Jesus. You're able, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallleluiah. Trust in His call. There's no way.
Give Him your all. Carry the cross, be it great or small. Don't worry what others may say. Simply trust and obey.